Joining us now is Slate's media critic, Jack Schaefer. Jack, welcome back to the program. And we've just heard David Folkenflik go over these defenses that the media has been raising in subpoenas to reporters. But it doesn't seem to me these defenses have been working very well lately.
Well, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Right now, there's a sense that there's that the press is under siege and a reporter can't go into his cubicle without getting hit with a subpoena. But this has been true of journalists for decades and decades. Probably every week in America, a journalist is served with a subpoena from a grand jury or is compelled to give testimony. So, you know, this is going on in the background all the time. The reason that these current cases are getting so much attention, first there are the New York cases with Judith Miller and Matt Cooper over the Valerie Plame leak.
These are reporters from the New York Times and Time Magazine in the case of the CIA agent whose name was leaked because her husband wrote a memo that the administration didn't like.
That's right. And then there's a television reporter who's been given, you know, 6 months of home detention. So that makes a lot of news. But there's not especially, I don't think, all these descriptions of the press under siege, I think, are a little hysterical.
You've been criticizing major newspapers for what you see as their over-reliance on anonymous sources, but clearly the ability for sources to remain nameless, that's very important in certain cases. Watergate's a classic example. Where do you think reporters should draw the line at using, as you call them, anonymice?
I believe that the best journalism is that which has reproducible results. You give your sources, you know, another journalist could come and investigate and re-report your story and probably come to the same conclusion. It gives the reader a lot more faith that the story is true. I'm aware that there are many stories that can't be reported without confidential sources. People on the intelligence beat tell me it's almost impossible to report a story without some sort of reliance on anonymous or confidential sources. I think it's important that editors police it very carefully, and that if a reporter is going to go with what an anonymous source has told them, they're staking their reputation to the story. They're not just shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, an anonymous source told me so and so, such and such. There are good newspapers who are very, very reluctant to use anonymous sources. The Wall Street Journal is one, and more often it allows a reporter to express something as knowledge that he has. Therefore, he's putting his reputation on the line rather than the over-reliance on anonymous sources. And USA Today and the Chicago Tribune are very good about not using anonymous sources. So it can be done.
You mentioned intelligence reporting, Jack. Here's a classic example of what reporters mean when they talk about protecting sources. Last week, the Washington Post reported on the single biggest item in the U.S. intelligence budget, a previously secret $9.5 billion spy satellite. A lot of senators think this is a huge waste of money. It's a big debate in the congressional committees that oversee what we spend on intelligence, and the public only learns about this because there's a private source that the Washington Post will not name. But is this too headed for subpoenas, another confrontation over this freedom of the press?
Well, I'm reluctant to make predictions, but in this one I'd say absolutely not. It looks like it was a congressional leak. And if you follow congressional leak investigations, they basically peter out. The last big one was in 2002. There were leaks about NSA intercepts the day before 9/11. 2 years later, the FBI traced the leak to Senator Richard Shelby, according to the Washington Post, who was on the Intelligence Committee. And the FBI turned it over to the Senate Ethics Panel, and there it has expired. So congressional leaks, because they're basically coming from members of Congress and the Senate, tend to go nowhere. And my prediction would be the same is going to happen with this case.
Opinion and analysis from Jack Schaefer. He writes the Press Box column for Slate. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.